that, in fact, 454 really doesn't take you to 36 AD. Because, in fact, if you add 454 BC to 36 AD, you come to 490. Seems right, but you got to subtract that 1 year, and that's 489. And therefore, mathematically, this cannot work because it does not calculate correctly. Now, when I realized, going way back, that we had a problem with the 0 year, this is what led me to inquire a little bit deeper into these prophecies and find out how we deal with these. Because, I mean, the prophecy is there. You can't change the prophecy. It's going to be bona fide correct. But if this does not add up right, that can't be the answer. Now, I could speak a half an hour on this little question. And I could explain how the Edgars ran into this problem. And I could explain how they modified it and what's wrong with their answer. They did not follow what Volume 2 says. I don't think brethren at large are aware of the fact that the Edgars did not follow Volume 2 on this point because they saw that it didn't work. They adopted an altogether different theory than Volume 2 adopts. If you look at the reasons for Volume 2, page 67, it comes from two chronologers, Hales and Priestley. And both of them, one is simply wrong. Hales does not really support what Volume 2 says. It's a misquote. I suspect that probably Brother Russell got it from Barber. Barber got it from somebody, and somehow it was never rechecked. But I think when the Edgars came along, they did recheck it, and they saw that that was not a support for this date. Hales agreed, actually, with this, and not with this. It's simply a wrong citation of some sort. Priestley, however, does describe in his notice exactly how this view of 454 is arrived at. He explains it in an entire chapter, and then he explains in chapter 2 why he believes that's wrong. So really, both of the people that are claimed to support this date really do not support that date. And therefore, I think the only plausible explanation left is this one, is this date here. Now, there's so much more I could say on this point. Maybe I should just outline it just a little bit more and interrupt me if I'm getting too confused or detailed. Just a little more. What did the Edgars do then when they realized this is wrong? What did they do? Well, what they did is they followed another theory that says, no, history was not off by 9 years, as suggested, but in fact, history was off by 10 years, and the true date of Nehemiah's return was 455 BC. And they used an altogether different reason. If you read the arguments for this and the arguments for that, it's not even the same point of view. This point of view, you'll find in the Edgar's book on the Great Pyramid Passages, Volume 2, and you'll find that they credit this view, which they explain in great detail, to a man named Hengstenberg of the early 1800s, German theologian that wrote a lengthy treatise on Christology in the Old Testament. And he changed this by 10 years by saying that a man named Ptolemy mistook the number 11 for the number 21, and it was a transcription error. And therefore, we're 10 years off in the reign of one of these Persian kings. And therefore, instead of 11 years, Ptolemy turned it into a 21 years and introduced a 10-year error into the history of the world at the time of this experience. Well, that's an interesting possibility. But will that stand in the light of historical research? And the answer is that when Hengstenberg authored this view, it could stand. Because as he pointed out, and as the Edgars acknowledge, we can do this because we have no astronomical dating to tell us that it couldn't have been. We have no first-hand records to tell us. But now, 180 years later, do we have records that tell us? And the answer is yes. We've got an abundance of records. This theory would never have seen the light of day if it was written today. Because now we have the records that tell us that, in fact, this king reigned 21 years. We have tablets that are reckoned from, that are dated. These are not later copies. These are original tablets dating commercial transactions that are in years 12, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 21. And in his 21st year, we have a papyrus that says this transaction is dated in the 21st year of this king, which is the accession year of the next king. So we know that was his last year. There is no question. Now, I know that if a person says before an audience where there might be a dispute, there is no question. It might be considered to be a dogmatic tone. I don't wish to have a dogmatic tone, but I am positive of the facts on this issue, and the facts will not allow this to stand at this point. And therefore, we have to look back, and we find that the date that was used by Isaac Newton and the event that was used by William Miller and many other Christian people, I think really answers it. And when we use that date, then we find out this pattern unfolding that deepens the significance of the harvest parallels in a way that could not be any other way. Could not be any other way. This will not stand if we use this approach that was suggested based upon some references that were not up to date. So that's a lengthy explanation. And if you want copies of any of those materials, I can easily provide them. But, you know, can I just add a postscript here that I know that when you begin to change things about chronology and parallels and times and dates, immediately there's an apprehension. I know that apprehension firsthand because it was in my mind before it was in the minds of others. And when you begin to modify things, you think, well, wait, this structure is so built up with an intertwined network of dates, you change one of those dates, it's going to bend, twist, corrupt the rest of them. Maybe it'll cause the edifice to collapse. I know the apprehension. That's why I have been so earnest in my own faith concern on this point, to document the facts at hand and then see how beautifully those facts produce a reassurance of where we are in the divine plan. And I can't speak too strongly on this. No, I probably could. But I would hope not to. But I just want to give you a feeling for the confidence and the thanks that I have that when the evidences of fact congeal, the evidence of prophecy is stronger than before. Should we not expect that? Should we not expect that when Miller formed all these prophecies, but they were slightly off, that somebody could later put them into sharper focus, as we have in Volume 2 and Volume 3? That's right, because they're more correct. And should we not expect that if there are any imprecisions, that straightening those imprecisions out would lead us a firmer base and foundation? I think so. And I think that that is the case in this connection. Now, we do have the remainder of the question. How is the date of Jesus' first advent shown in the 70-week prophecy? It's an excellent question, and that also was a burning question in my mind as I realized that this should be the starting point. And I think the answer for this is, the prophecy says there will be, I'm paraphrasing here, correct me if I paraphrase incorrectly, there will be 69 weeks till Messiah. Well, if that's true, how can I say 69 weeks ended in the year 26 when Messiah came in 29? Pretty good question, I'd say. Well, that's a question that hit me. And I think the answer to that is, and you know, Sherlock Holmes would say, when you eliminate all the other possibilities, what's left must be the truth. When you eliminate all the other possibilities because they cannot stand, this must be the truth, but now how do we integrate that? How can that be? And I think the answer is that this prophecy of the 70 weeks is not the prophecy of 490 days. Now, you know, we have 1260 days, we have 1290, 1335. We don't have 490 days. We have 70 weeks. The prophecy is in units of weeks, not single years. So, if in the prophecy you want to explain when Messiah will appear, how many weeks can we say would appear? Would there be 70 weeks before Messiah would appear? If you wait for 70 weeks, you're at 33 and you see him on the cross. And you say, well, I was waiting for his appearance. So the only other date you can give is 69 weeks before he will appear. And after 69 weeks, then Messiah will come. And indeed he did. After 69 weeks, we have Messiah's appearance within that week. Now, as you all know, this prophecy does talk about the middle of the week. But it does not say that Jesus would die in the middle. Now, this is what I always thought in my mind. He'd be cut off in the midst of the week. But that actually is not in the prophecy. The prophecy says, in the midst of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Well, that could be at his cross, couldn't it, when he nailed the law to the cross? Could be. Or it could be, as Paul says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God, a body hast thou prepared me. And he put that offering on the altar in the year 29 AD, and as Paul says, he taketh away the first, the typical, that he may establish the second, the antitypical. And that's where the antitypical bullock began in 29, when he removed the typical. by fulfilling it. And so I think the midst of the week does fit very nicely at 29. I could see it either way, depending upon the date. But I feel that the facts we have now, both prophetically and historically, allow us to see this a little more crisply. I'll go on to another question. Okay. I don't understand what AD 26 with Pontius Pilate as governor, or 1871, the Republic of Germany established, has to do with favor or disfavor to Israel, the nominal churches, any of that. Connect any to any direct impact on those dates? Well, again, a very good question. And my answer is that in 66, we had a Jewish revolt from Rome. And that lasted for all of 7 years down to 73 when Masada ended that revolt with fall of Masada. That seven-year span does parallel with the 7 years of 1911 to 1918, at least in the minds of a notable historian who lived through the time and wrote an account of the time. I can't get away from the fact that when you get the date correctly, this parallel fits so beautifully. But if that's true, what do you do with these two dates, 26 and 1871? Because that's the basis of the question. Well, who was it that attacked Israel here? It was Rome. And that's when the governor was appointed. Who was it that really started the war? Even the Agadir crisis of 1911 was precipitated by Germany. Now, when you look back historically, I think it's only fair to say that the Romans were the antagonist here and the Germans were the antagonist here. And the Germans really were the residue of that Holy Roman Empire, politically. And therefore, the formation of the German Republic sets the stage for the coming problem. The formation of the governorship of Judea set the stage for this. Now, I realize that that's not the strongest parallel. I realize that. But I think it's an intended parallel that you can observe and see and distinguish from the dates of history. It's not the strongest. But I think it's the beginning of establishing the framework for what will then occur 40 years later in each case. Now, there's a related question, why 40 years? I didn't really explain why 40 years, because we think of 40 years so often that I'm building upon your acceptance of the fact that a 40-year period of probation is a reasonable period. But I know that the brethren have discussed very intensely over the last 15 years or so, is there a 40-year harvest or is there not a 40-year harvest? Well, my opinion is that the 40 years is a legitimate, correct period of time, but it doesn't define the length of the harvest. What the 40 years defines is a period of probation until the judgments of the Lord fall. That's not the end of the harvest. The harvest doesn't end until all of the things pertaining to this age have concluded. But it is a period of probation which closes, which then sees the judgments begin to fall. 40 years after our Lord's return, judgment began to fall. What you had was a 40-year period of gathering out the wheat before the judgment began to fall. What you have here is a 40-year period from 29, when he became the antitype, to 69, the last year they could observe those types in the temple, before God says, I'm putting an end to this right now. And the next year they couldn't observe it anymore. 40 years of probation. 40 in the scriptures pictures trial, testing, judgment, probation. Sometimes it refers to a whole age. 3 years, three reigns of the kings of Israel. Saul, Jewish age. David, gospel age. Solomon, the millennial age. 40, 40, 40, because they picture ages of trial. And so the 40 years of probation seems a very fitting period. Do I have a scripture that says there will be 40 years of probation? No, I don't. But we do find prophecies that tell us Jesus returned here and times the Gentiles ended here. And you subtract and it's 40. So I think it's legitimate. I think it works. But I know I don't have a direct scripture on that. Please don't be afraid to raise your hand if you do want to stop me here. But I do have a question related to this. And that is, do you feel that the 2,500 years ended in 1914 and that 1914 is the end of the times of the Gentiles? My answer is yes. I do feel that. I do feel that that ended in 1914. And as brethren know, I calculate the periods of history a little differently than some of the brethren here are accustomed to. And therefore, I believe that the date starting the Gentile times is 607 BC. And the